God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
This man must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I hope everybody survived the eclipse. I didn't look at it, but there was some great memes going around. Well, I guess Trump had an eclipse, and you know, when he looked up at the sun, Hillary Clinton tried to troll him, and of course she got trolled herself. That's the beauty of having a populist president like Donald Trump, where everybody loves him, and the only way that the people who are in power get in power is because they rig elections. The people hate them. Just look at Brazil. People are fleeing Brazil. Everywhere you have a globalist leader, people are leaving. But Trump gets all kinds of meme makers, you know, all kinds of great creative designs for free. People are just willingly doing it because they love Trump and they want to promote their candidate. Biden doesn't get any of that. You know, you don't see a lot of people, you know, the only people supporting Biden are the people still wearing masks in April of 2024. They're still wearing these stupid masks. They're just crazy. But we have a lot of things we want to cover today. Just like yesterday, we had a lot of things we wanted to cover. And we're going to hear a couple of interviews from the New York Jets owner who attended the Donald Trump fundraiser down in Florida, where they did so well. And we're also going to see the difference in the way the media talks about Trump, Biden getting $25 million in his fundraiser and Trump getting over $50 million. From what I hear, it's over $100 million. $50 million in big donors, $50 million in small donors. But we have other news we wanted to cover too. Letitia James poised to begin seizing Trump's properties. So the insurance company will not be permitted to post the $175 million bond for Trump while he appeals a fraud judgment. Knight Specialty Insurance is currently unable to post the bond on Trump's behalf, attorney Dave Klingman noted. According to Klingman, as a consequence, New York Attorney General will be empowered to initiate enforcement procedures against Donald Trump's properties. A New York court rejected Knight Specialty's application and requested further information about its financial support. They're not licensed to do that in New York. The business submitted new documentation on April 4th. Trump must post the $175 million bond to prevent James from initiating enforcement procedures after a court fined the former president $454 million in February for illegally inflating the worth of his assets. Donald Trump's exorbitant penalty for the common real estate practice raises serious concerns about selective and vindictive prosecution. Oh, absolutely. So New York appeals judge just rejected Donald Trump's attempt to delay his April 15th trial in Manhattan over alleged hush money payment to Stormy Daniels. It's another loss. These judges have it out for Trump. Trump has sought to postpone the trial and change the location, but the judge has just rejected both requests. Additionally, Trump's lawyers have asked the court to lift a gag order preventing him from publicly criticizing witnesses and the judge's family, but a decision on that appeal is pending. So they could kick Trump, but Trump can't kick back. And they do it in public. So Trump can't speak about the judge's daughter, who's a political fundraiser off of this, who is a political operative that works for Kamala Harris, who is a libtard as the day is long. It's insane. Meanwhile, you have corrupt President, corrupt Joe Biden, quid pro quo Joe, trying to buy votes, violating a Supreme Court order that says you're not allowed to buy votes. The Supreme Court last year blocked Biden's administration's $430 billion student loan write-off. But who do the justices think they are? King Joseph showed them on Monday by waving his royal scepter again and canceling debt for some 30 million borrowers. And he said that at a political rally at a university in Wisconsin. He basically said, the Republicans don't want to give you loan forgiveness. They voted against it. They're fighting it tooth and nail. I mean, he never said the Supreme Court also ruled against it. It's unconstitutional. That he's going because he's hemorrhaging young voters and he's hemorrhaging black voters. And all he wants to do is buy the votes. That's exactly what they've done with SEIU and all these different unions. They buy the votes. That's what they do with Planned Parenthood. They bought the votes. And they don't just buy them with liberal tax dollars. They buy them with conservative tax dollars. The same conservatives who oppose them, who consider Planned Parenthood and student loan forgiveness as unconstitutional and the enemy of the state. These libtards that want to buy into an education because they don't want to work. They want to party at school. They want to learn liberal arts and read poetry and then figure out how they can't pay their $100,000 student loan debt after they get out of college because they don't have a skill set that's any better than a burger flipper in California who's getting $20 an hour. And how's that going to work out? $20 an hour for flipping a burger. How's that working? There's a lot of people shoveling tar and running a jackhammer that don't get paid that much. These illegals, for one. So there's going to be a lot of people leaving one job. They might leave being an Apple genius at the Apple store to go and flip a burger. They might leave their law practice to go flip burgers. Because there's a lot of entrepreneurs that are trying to make it as an entrepreneur, a home office. And they're like, wow, I could just work 8 hours flipping burgers and make more money than I'm making with my home business that I'm trying to start, where I have very few customers and I'm working my butt off. It's crazy out there, folks. So if you think that, you know, The people that need the burger flipping job, the ones without the skill set, and the ones that are trying to make an, you know, get some money, they're not going to get that job at $20 an hour now. They're not going to get it. The kid out of high school is not getting that job. It's going to be some person with a bachelor degree that's going to end up working that burger flipping job at $20 an hour and probably requesting overtime. So it not only hurts the entry-level potential employee, because they're going to be competitively pushed out of the market, but after all these people get all these jobs, there's two other things that are going to happen. You're either going to have an increase in housing costs because people are going to be making more and spending more, increase in drink prices, an increase in, obviously, an increase in burgers, the price of a burger. You go to McDonald's, it's going to cost you $50. It's going to be like eating at Applebee's or Outback Steakhouse or Cheesecake Factory at some point. Because those employees work for tips. They get paid very little per hour. But the burger flipper, so it's going to price the fast food out of the market, because no one's going to want to pay the same amount of money for a McDonald's hamburger than they would get at Applebee's or a, you know, any other mid-level restaurant, Outback, Cheesecake Factory, those types of things. So there's that. But then there's going to be the automation, the robotics, right? Why spend, you know, X amount, $40,000 for a burger flipper when I can get a robot to do it for free? And that's also going to be happening. And so then there's going to be no jobs. And this is all because of this ultra-liberal situation that's going on. Meanwhile, they got more congressmen and representatives. They got more because what are they doing? They're stacking the deck with illegals populating the environment down there. Illegals who are voting. Illegals who are working under the table for cheaper wages. Illegals are being treated like slaves. But also, they're making the congressmen and women rich, because there's more congressmen in California as a result of it. If only they had a census where you're allowed to ask the question, are you a U.S. citizen? The answer would be no to a majority. Just like the new jobs that are being filled are all being filled by illegals. So what's that about? And they're not paying into the tax structure as an illegal. And Trump promises to put a stop to all of that. So getting back to student loan forgiveness, Supreme Court last year blocked Biden's administrative $430. We're not going to take calls just this minute. Blocked Biden administration's $430 billion student loan write-off. But who do the justices think they are? So they basically are doing it illegally. I think that what's happening is when Biden promises this, he's trying to get the vote, but it'll never happen. The Supreme Court will rule against it and say you're breaking the law. Should he be impeached for breaking the law? I mean, they've impeached Trump over a perfectly sound Ukrainian call. And what was it for? Because he's going after his political opponent. Look at what they're doing to Trump with Letitia James and Alvin Bragg and Fannie Willis and Jack Smith. Breaking down everybody's doors. Peter Navarro is rotting in jail right now. J6 protesters against election fraud are rotting in jail. What kind of country are we living in? So somebody else writes, he is acting as a king, not a president. Biden unveils plan to wipe out student loan debt for millions more Americans. He's trying to buy the youth vote. That's what he's trying to do because he's losing it. Even Nancy Pelosi said, you can't do it. You cannot do it.
People think that the president of the United States, is this more on the subject than you ever want to know? Will you let me know? People think that the president of the United States has the power for debt forgiveness. He does not. He can postpone, he can delay, but he does not have that power. That has to be an act of Congress.
Boom. That's his own party, Speaker Pelosi, saying that. And he just does it anyway. So Twitter is still working with Brazil, Elon Musk. We kept getting those demands from Judge Alexandra to suspend accounts of sitting members of the parliament and major journalists. So Brazil, America is trying to become Brazil. Get it? That's what we're doing. And major journalists. We could not tell them that this was at the behest of Alexandra. We had to pretend that it was due to our rules. So take a listen to this.
Demands from Judge Alexander. That's his name on Twitter, at Alexander. And there would be to suspend accounts immediately. We're given typically 2 hours to suspend an account or face massive fines. And the final straw is we were being given demands to suspend sitting members of the parliament and major journalists. And moreover, we could not tell them that this was at the behest of Alexander Morales. We had to pretend that it was due to our rules of service. And that was the final straw, and we said no. Demands from...
So this this is what happened with Jack Dorsey. I don't think Jack Dorsey wanted to do the things that Twitter was doing, but the culture at Twitter was one thing, and the government pressure was another, and the coercion was another. And now Elon Musk is just outing them. And what's happening in Brazil today was happening in the Biden regime in the first year with the Truth Czar and the meddling of the 2022 election and the suppression of Hunter Biden's information. The FBI and the CIA and the State Department and the Mockingbird media, all paid by corporate globalists one way or another, whether it's through Pfizer or Moderna, because they got huge windfalls from immunity in the COVID years, right? Same way that the big tech gets immunity through Section 230. The government is holding carrots and sticks. All they have to do is remove Section 230 legally, and these corporations like Facebook and Meta, which is the same company, and anyone else would likely go out of business because they would be sued to oblivion. So David Sachs writes, Brazil's present is the future, our future, if Democrats achieve their dream of packing the Supreme Court. So Democrats are now also interested in introducing a bill to expand the Supreme Court from 9 to 13 justices. President Joe Biden announced the formation of a commission last week to study the court structure, including the number of justices and their length of service. Could you imagine? And Elon Musk retweeted that David Sachs tweet and said they want to stack the court. They want to stack the deck. That's what he said. So Trump gave a big announcement on abortion. We're gonna play that clip in its entirety. 9-second clips out of context will not save your campaign. Sorry that your candidate can't do the live interviews anymore, but if you think lying and misleading voters like this is a winning strategy, get ready to lose in November. Watch President Trump's complete statement here. So that was from the Trump War Room. They put that out, talking about Joe Biden. But let's take a listen to Donald Trump.
Under my leadership, the Republican Party will always support the creation of strong, thriving, and healthy American families. We want to make it easier for mothers.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to play this over again. What they were responding to is they're responding to taking a 9-second clip out of this and saying Trump says he supports extreme abortion bans across the country that criminalize doctors, threaten IVF, and force rape victims to give birth. That's what they will be. So that's the Biden-Harris HQ, right? So let's take a listen again. So that's what they were referring to in terms of 9-second clips out of context.
Under my leadership, the Republican Party will always support the creation of strong, thriving, and healthy American families. We want to make it easier for mothers and families to have babies, not harder. That includes supporting the availability of fertility treatments like IVF in every state in America. Like the overwhelming majority of Americans, including the vast majority of Republicans, conservatives, Christians, and pro-life Americans, I strongly support the availability of IVF for couples who are trying to have a precious baby. What could be more beautiful or better than that? Today, I'm pleased that the Alabama legislature has acted very quickly and passed legislation that preserves the availability of IVF in Alabama. They really did a great and fast job. The Republican Party should always be on the side of the miracle of life and the side of mothers, father, their beautiful babies, and that's what we are. IVF is an important part of that, and our great Republican Party will always be with you in your quest for the ultimate joy in life. Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and, in fact, demanded be ended. Roe v. Wade. They wanted it ended. It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the 9th month. The concept of having an abortion in the later months and even execution after birth, and that's exactly what it is, the baby is born, the baby is executed after birth, is unacceptable, and almost everyone agrees with that. My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart or, in many cases, your religion or your faith. Do what's right for your family and do what's right for yourself. Do what's right for your children. Do what's right for our country and vote. So important to vote. At the end of the day, it's all about will of the people. That's where we are right now, and that's what we want, the will of the people. I want to thank the six justices, Chief Justice John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and Neil Gorsuch, incredible people, for having the courage to allow this long-term, hard-fought battle to finally end. This 50-year battle over Roe v. Wade took it out of the federal hands and brought it into the hearts, minds, and vote of the people in each state. It was really something. Now it's up to the states to do the right thing. Like Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. You must follow your heart on this issue, but remember, You must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to save our country, which is currently, and very sadly, a nation in decline. Our nation needs help. It needs unity. It needs us all to work closely together. Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, everyone, we have to work together. We have to bring our nation back from the brink, and that's where it is. It's at the brink, and we will. We will do it. I promise you, we will do it. Always go by your heart, but we must win. We have to win. We are a failing nation, but we can be a failing nation no longer. We will make our nation great. We will make our nation greater than ever before. Thank you very much.
I agree with the putting it back to the states. It brings politics local, where you have more intimate relationships with your politicians, the leadership, with the political leadership. And so I think, it's part of the Federalist Way. Part of what makes our republic special is the states, power back to the states. Now, that being said, there are certain states that are rigging elections. I think we need federal guidelines with regard to standards, like voter ID should be the law of the land, and paper ballots should be the law of the land. Other than that, mail-in ballots or any other kind of voting process that it creates a lack of chain of custody, you know, avoids the chain of custody and creates the ability to cheat. Well, computers, for one, you could just swap ROM chips out. You can go in and hack, change numbers willy-nilly. All of that has been done, and it's been done, and it's been proven to be done, and we need fair elections. We need election standards for each state, but each state should have its own independence and domicile to make up its own unique laws, particularly on issues like abortion. So I thought that Trump nailed it on the head there. And he did a great job there. So that I think that's where it needs to be. And it empowers the people. Again, that decision empowers the people. And it also shines a spotlight on the Democrats' interest in infanticide and execution of children up to a certain age, literally after birth. They've been advancing and advocating that. There's certain things that go beyond the pale, so to speak. So Sagar and Genty writes this. He says, "My entire life, leave it to the states, was the mainstream pro-life argument on cable TV and in the national discourse. Then Trump said it today, and now the pro-life groups are attacking him." Right? In 2006, Joe Biden said this.
I do not view abortion as a choice and a right. I think it's always a tragedy. And I think that it should be rare and safe. And I think we should be focusing on how to limit the number of abortions. And they ought to be able to have a common ground and consensus as to do that. I think the vast majority of the American people think that can be done. But unfortunately, we're put in a position you either eliminate abortions under all circumstances or it's, quote, abortion on demand. The fact of the matter is I've never known of a woman having an abortion and say, by the way, I feel like having an abortion. It's always a tragic decision made, always a difficult decision.
All right, so there he was in 2006 saying exactly what Trump just said.
I'm prepared to accept that the moment of conception is human life and being.
In 1974, he said, "I don't like the Supreme Court decision on abortion. I think it went too far."
I think it's always a tragedy. And I think that it should be rare and safe. And I think we should be focusing on how to limit the number of abortions.
On no fewer than 50 occasions, he'd voted against federal funding for abortions. The quote
inside
the April 7th, 1994 letter reads, "Those of us who are opposed to abortions should not be compelled to pay for them.
Don't support public finance, public funding. I don't, because that flips the burden. That's then telling me I have to accept a different view.
This is a guy who on the Judiciary Committee in 1982 voted for an amendment from Orrin Hatch that would allow states to ban abortion.
Abortion is always wrong.
And this is from 1986, where he tells the Catholic Diocese newspaper that abortion is, quote, wrong from the moment of conception. And he praised pro-life groups for trying to push back the frontier on when abortion is legal.
I'm prepared as a matter of faith to accept that life begins at the moment of conception.
All right, so that's Joe Biden in the past. And now, today, Biden supports taxpayer-funded abortion until birth. How in the world are you that guy and then become president of the United States? It used to be, I remember when they made a big thing out of John Kerry calling him a flip-flopper because he was a libtarded flip-flop, right? He was. But this is even worse. And forget about all the Biden plagiarizing and everything else in between. So we have a couple of more things we want to talk about. So remember the hearing with her, and they said, and the guy, the DOJ prosecutor that said Biden was too old and frail and feeble and memory loss, that we're not going to prosecute him because he would be able to plead insanity or frailty, and so it wouldn't be a good case. And then they grilled her on Capitol Hill. Well, they want to look into this because they want to hear the audio recording of her and Joe Biden. And Merrick Garland won't release the tape. Let's take a listen.
The Justice Department is refusing to release the audio recordings of President Biden's interview with the former special counsel, Robert Hur, putting AG Merrick Garland at risk of being held in contempt of Congress. The DOJ did hand over Biden's ghostwriter transcript to try and appease House Republicans as they continue to investigate Biden's mishandling of classified documents as a senator and as vice president. Joining me now is Wisconsin Congressman Scott Fitzgerald, member of the House Judiciary and Financial Services Committees. Congressman, thanks very much for being here. What does the Judiciary Committee want to see specifically?
Maria, I thought this was a layup. When we had her before the committee and had the ability to question him, I mean, you saw that. We went as far as to ask about the president's mental state. Is he, in fact, you know, was there any demonstration that at this point he's somewhat senile? We all thought this was a slam dunk. So the idea that DOJ right now and Garland are kind of hiding this or not willing to comply is a little bit startling, and also I think underscores the idea of they know how bad this is. I mean, we've seen
you're hiding
the president.
Something? So they're hiding something.
I think he's just been rambling and publicly. Can you imagine what that looks like behind closed doors in an interview in which they allow him to just talk extemporaneously off the top of his head? It's got to be really bad for DOJ not to comply at this point.
But what is this going to get you?
Oh, I think ultimately what we're trying to once again establish is that what DOJ did and what HER did was to hide things from the committee. And I think certainly make sure that publicly you're not going to see what we all knew what was going on, which is the president's mental state is certainly not a good excuse to just dismiss something that could be criminal, quite honestly.
I
see HER also hid things too, so that was just said there as well. Hers not that apparently he's a conservative, but I don't know. He was hiding stuff too. Let's take a listen to this.
Well, it is somewhat out of our hands in the House right now. But
this is related to Mayorkas's impeachment. The House voted to impeach, and then the Senate is going to hold it. And so he was asked, what good is this? What do you think the Senate's going to do? Well, Schumer, it's going to actually show a hand. Schumer's not even going to want to bring it to the floor, and it's going to also show where the Rhino Republicans are in the Senate.
But I can tell you, if you talk to anybody that's in the Senate, that Senator Schumer has a huge problem right now, and that is a political problem in which they are not willing to stand on the floor of the U.S. Senate and have a full debate about the border because they know they have huge issues politically about this, which is why Chuck Schumer and the Senate Democrats are trying to find a way of just completely avoiding the discussion on the floor and some type of quote-unquote trial. And the way to do that is by continuing to drag their feet. So I'm not sure exactly what the timing in the U.S. Senate is, but they have a problem because they don't want to talk about the border because now they know what's happening at the border.
So are you expecting Mike Johnson to bring this Ukraine-Israel bill to the floor, and are you going to vote for it if it's status quo? That is, no change at the border.
First thing it has to do is get out of the conference. So the speaker needs to make that pitch, and that probably will happen at 9 a.m. tomorrow. I'm quite honestly, I'm not sure exactly what the speaker has been negotiating. I think you would find it the rank and file members of the House in our conference are not aware of that yet. But like I said, you know, this is not the first time that something's kind of been thrown in our lap.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that means that typically the support is not there. So I'm not sure exactly where we're at right now. We will find out by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
So we're going to learn some things about that Ukrainian package and how it's connected to the border security and the impeachment trial and the whole thing, you know, so something to think about. So David Sacks writes this: the world was at peace. He was a liberal his whole life, David Sacks, and I think he's come out to be a Trump supporter. The world was at peace for 4 years, 4 years ago. The world was at peace 4 years ago. This is David Sacks writing this. Now it is on fire. Biden doesn't know how to negotiate to end an end to conflicts, only how to exacerbate them. We need a president who understands the art of the deal. Wow. That's an endorsement, folks, from David Sacks. This is Woody Johnson. He is the co-owner of the New York Jets football team. And the New York Jets football team has Aaron Rodgers, who is a huge MAGA guy, right? And the media hates him. Now, he tore his Achilles heel and all those things. But now you know why he's so bold, because he has an owner that actually thinks like him. So this guy was down in Mar-a-Lago at the fundraiser in Florida where they raised $50 million. He was in awe of Donald Trump on this one. Take a listen to what he had to say.
Woody, you were at the big $50 million Palm Beach fundraiser for Donald Trump. What was it like?
Well, it was a Trump's eclipse. I guess by your monologue, yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable. You know, I've been going to these things for, you know, since Reagan. I've never seen anything like it. You know, everybody's back. $50 million, as you said, twice what Biden and Clinton and Obama raised together. Very enthusiastic people. It was about 100 people at that dinner, a little over. Very appreciative of what Trump and his family, President Trump and his family, are giving up to do this, to save America and make America great again. So the good news is you raise $50 million just to start. All these people are fired up. And second, the small and medium-sized donor also came in with a huge, huge $50 million, another $50. So that's you know, a couple million a day, pretty good.
It's pretty good, and blows away the Biden record, not even close. We always hear about what Joe Biden tells donors at these events. He goes off script. Does former President Donald Trump tell donors things different than what he tells the public? What did he say to you at this fundraiser?
I think it was one of the best speeches. You know, each one gets better and better. But he really was very relaxed with this group. And he kind of described what he wants to do and the dire straits that the country's in with inflation and, you know, no rule of law, an open border, what's going on in the Mideast and Europe. and all this tremendous inflation, gas prices that are unattainable for a lot of people. And he has a solution. He's done it before. And this time, I think he'll be even better, a lot better, because he really knows what he's doing now. So he'll be able to get inflation down, gas prices down by drill, baby drill. He'll close the border. He'll make good deals with China and North Korea and some of our adversaries in Iran and Israel and so on. And I think the world will be a safer and better place. There'll be less crime. He's extremely compassionate. People don't know that. He's extremely funny. I think people are starting to appreciate his sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And he just impressed all of us once again. And I think, yeah, the overwhelming thought was, yeah, this is just the beginning for us. Everybody in that room was ready to step up hard. But it was really an appreciation.
Good. It's good to hear that the party is coming together and coalescing after a lot of the division we've seen over the last couple of years. Now, we've had an earthquake. We've now had a solar eclipse. And your starting quarterback.
He's going to talk about Aaron Rodgers. Well, I'm curious to hear that.
Almost was a vice presidential candidate.
I haven't heard this part.
What is going on? What is happening right now?
He is getting back to football 100%. He never left football.
Okay.
But that was a momentary distraction, maybe like the going in the dark room or whatever. But he's back 100%. Great leader.
I think I might have to make New York Jets my favorite team with a guy like that at the helm, the co-owner, and then Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback, a MAGA guy. Why not? Why not? Well, why don't we all just make the New York Jets our favorite team? Why not? I'm hedging that way. So here we got. I want to play this clip too. This is related. This Byron Donalds put this out, but this is really good. So it's a comparison between the media talking about Biden and his 25 million, and then Trump and his 50 million. But then also what Larry Trump has to say at the end of this.
Presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton joining President Biden in a who's who of special guests tonight, reportedly raising $25
million. $25
million. $25
million.
$25 million.
$25 million.
Historic $25 million haul.
The most successful political fundraiser in American history.
1 week later.
The record books for former President Trump. Over $50 million from the event. That's almost double what the Biden campaign raised during its fundraising event held with former Presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama.
Let me just clarify how big this was. Prior to last night, largest single event fundraiser in politics ever was the one that Joe Biden had, and he needed three presidents to haul in $26 million. He needed celebrities like Lizzo, Stephen Colbert, Anna Wintour. We needed one man, Donald J. Trump, one president, to double that. It was history made last night. Some of the people who came last night to this event had not contributed at a level like this ever before. People are not sitting on the sidelines anymore. They understand what's at stake. It's a must-win election. And from the election integrity perspective, we're focused on it like a laser at the RNC.
Yeah, they're spending all the money on election integrity. Good luck trying to cheat the Republicans this time. Meanwhile, you got Dem Senator Leader Chuck Schumer explodes, blames Republicans for Ukraine's loss in the war. They lost before they ever started. It was a money laundering operation, folks. It was a money laundering operation. Biggest reason Ukraine is losing the war is because the hard right in Congress has paralyzed the United States from acting. Give me a break. If they couldn't win with $150 billion, they certainly can't win with an extra 50, dummy. Ugh. I can't even listen to that clip. I'm not going to play that clip. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I just can't. Ugh. All right, we got a bunch of other stuff. All right, so some guy says, was told this, so AG Barr was told that, Spooky was told to stay down. Lieutenant Colonel, I forget his full name, but was told to stand down by AG Barr after uncovering compelling evidence of mail-in ballot election integrity. This is the same Barr in June 2020 CNN interview who stated that an election done predominantly by mail would not be secure, right? So here is the guy that I was talking about, Anthony Schaefer, right? They call him T.S. Spooky. Let's see.
So the first question we should all ask is, where's Jesse's trailer? Where is it? Where'd it go? What was the route it took after it left? I think it's a reasonable question, one that I think any reasonable American who's curious about 24 pallets of ballots, where they went. So we have a number of teams supporting the Armistead effort. One of them is my own London Center intelligence team. They did the estimate of ballots. So just so you all understand what we're talking about, depending on the density, depending on the trays, and again, this leads back to Greg's story, seeing these ballots showing up in the counting rooms in the middle of the night. That's the pointy end of the spear. We trace it back through all the different machinations to Jesse, to his mass transportation of these things. And I can tell you, other investigations that are now ongoing with our field elements are developing the next set of leads. It doesn't stop at Bethpage. It only begins there. And as Phil said, all investigations start with questions. We have additional questions we're now going to answer. But to the point of this, 24 Gaylords full of these things, not mailed like they normally would be. And let me make this very clear. The Bethpage Center is not a place where you can frank or process mail. It's a bulk mail center. As a matter of fact, it's called a process and distribution center. That means big boxes and big things go through. You don't take in envelopes. You don't take in little pieces of mail and put them into big bundles. These things were bundled. They were on trays. They were processed. They were curated, if you will. These were ready to be counted. That's what makes this so important. So depending on the density of these things, it could be 144 to over to a quarter million ballots. Let me tell you a little secret. Part of our developing investigation indicates that Jesse wasn't alone. There was a number, as in like a bunch of different trucks, which engaged in this. So when you think about the magnitude of potential votes showing up the night of the election after midnight, you have to have an artifact. So if you eliminate the impossible, with all things being equal, whatever remains must be the truth. The truth is, ballots showed up. They were counted. They do not match necessarily the records of who should have voted. In some instances, the stats don't add up. And we continue to analyze that. But with that said, I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we have evidence of a massive transfer of completed, curated ballots ready to be injected into counting centers. Thank you.
All right. So that's Tony Schaefer, right? And Tony Schaefer was told to stand down. So Bill Barr, the AG, the chief law enforcement officer of the United States government, covering up the overthrow of the government in real time. So AG Barr, after uncovering compelling evidence of mail and ballot election integrity. This is the same Barr in a 2020 CNN interview who stated that an election done predominantly by mail would not be secure. Right. Everybody agrees with that. So here, Barr in 2020, according to Jeff Carlson, exonerated Biden publicly by stating that Durham was not investigating him. New Biden lied during a debate about Hunter's laptop, prevented news of the Hunter investigations from becoming public before the election, claimed the CIA stayed in its lane. That was always a lie. Brennan covered up and enabled the Clinton plan to frame Trump and create the Russian collusion lie, and publicly stated that Durham's focus had narrowed considerably and was focused on the activities of the Crossfire Hurricane investigation within the FBI, which is strange because the expanded scope Barr granted to Durham included, among other things, the Mueller investigation, Danchenko's CHS status and FBI's knowledge of him, Comey, McCabe lying to Congress in 17. Durham apparently, at Barr's direction, ignored all of these events in early 2017 as FBI activated a plan. Barr was the establishment's fixer. I like them apples. It's kind of crazy, right? All right, so Bill Gates, the thing is that cows and other grass-eating species have a digestion system that emits methane. So get rid of cows. It's a 29-second.
The thing is that cows and other grass-eating species have a digestion system that emits methane. And methane is a very powerful greenhouse gas. And so cows alone account for about 6% of global emissions. And so we need to change
cows,
just cows alone.
How are we going to do that?
Well, the thing is that...
Well, so RFK Jr. responds to that.
The lockdowns really destroyed that whole illusion of globalization. But, you know, it was a money-making enterprise for Gates, and the vaccines are the same thing. He gives the money, gets tax deductions for giving the money to the WHO. Mm-hmm. He gains control of the WHO. The WHO pays for finance the health ministries in virtually every country in Africa. Mm. So he can then say, as a condition of getting that money, this is what WHO does. As a condition to get that money, you have to show that you vaccinated a certain percentage of your population. It's right. A milestone. But the vaccines that they're buying are owned by companies that Gates owns. Oh, it's this system where, you know, at the end, the punchline on almost all of his philanthropic projects are that he ends up making money. Oh, I don't look into his head and speculate about why he thinks the way that he does, but he did the same thing with Microsoft. Microsoft was, it was a monopoly. It's to control every aspect, to vertically integrate and control every aspect of the domain of the landscapes and be able to monetize philanthropy to make yourself richer.
It's the revenge of the nerds. Whatever girl rejected him in high school, it is on you.
The lockdown's real.
That's a good one. We're out of time to play this clip, but I wanted to play. I'm going to show you the opening of it. We're going to play this tomorrow.
Now that President Trump is the Republican nominee for president in 2024, it's time for Republicans, including those who doubt him or even can't stand him, to get behind him. The times demand it. We are in a war fighting an enemy of revolutionaries that kick and spit on America. I call our enemy the woke regime.
So we're going to listen to that whole thing in its entirety tomorrow. It's 7 or 8 minutes. But this, I wanted to just have you hear that part. We're in a war right now, and a lot of us don't even know it. Well, that brings us to the end of the Scott Adams Show. Be sure to check out MAGAPAC.org. Find out how we're advancing America First policies to make America great again. Also, make a donation if you'd like to keep the Scott Adams Show commercial free. Also, and to support the Scott Adams Show. Also, use Red State as your promo code over at MyPillow.com. And with that, we'll see you next time on the radio. Goodbye, buddy.
Where I stand, the mound's getting steeper. They grab a shovel, dig a hole a little deeper, just to bury my kids right up to there.